everybody. Hey, it's Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Hey, glad to have you back. We've finally shed my last bit of leather from the previous two episodes.
Aww.
Oh, I forgot about my chaps. I'll have to take them off on the break or something like that. All right, Dio, if you're watching this show anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now because why? We've got all the special links and we've got text and we've got graphics that go along with this program right below the video. Hey, gosh, what a beautiful day. Hey, some of you guys, you want to know about who this guy is that is co-hosting me. And I want to tell you what, we've worked out a deal. Meredith is going to be with me for like 4 or 5 episodes, and L. Ron will do like 4 or 5 episodes just going back and forth. Let me tell you about L. Ron. L. Ron is a true hypno 1%er, best of the best. He sees clients night and day, day after day, week after week, month after month here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. We get great feedback from him, about him. And also, yeah, he co-teaches my classes, and we've got classes coming up. Gosh, I'm not sure if this is going to be out in time. March 1st is the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Super Course. We've got our Week of Power coming up in May. I think it's May 16th. And if you want to know more about our schedule, just go to Hypnosis at Cetra. No, HypnosisCenter.com. Jeez, some days. How's it going, Elron?
It's going good, Cal. And I gotta say, I mean, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to always be able to exceed what I thought my capabilities are when you put me on the spot. So thanks for doing that. And I'm just glad that I've been around you long enough for some of the wisdom and information to actually sink into my head. And even though I ask you things 4 or 5 times, it finally gets there. So thanks for being patient with me. For those of you who don't know who Cal is, well, aside from the guy who taught me everything I know that actually works, he made 5-Path, the Banyan Hypnosis Center, just about the number one hypno-commando in the world, I think. So teaching by example and having Cal in the back of my mind at all times helps me be much better. So thanks, Cal.
Does that drive you to drinking or what?
Yeah, not really. I do have a too much behavior, though, and it is seeing clients too much. I just finished up about 15 sessions this week. That was yesterday, and so I was pretty exhausted after that. I came home, I was supposed to get a bunch of questions last night, but I was just toast. I was toasted, Cal. Now I know how you feel.
I remember back in the day when I was a young man, and I was seeing clients, 5-6 clients a day, 5 days a week. I was going out of my freaking mind, okay? I started off with, I love hypnosis. And then after, you know, months and months, maybe a year or two of doing that, I was like, I hate hypnosis. And I learned about balance in your life. And
absolutely.
One of the great things about our profession is that we can see clients, we can do group work, we can do teaching classes, writing, and really as we start to do that, our life comes into balance and we can still be very, very successful. Hey, you know, the main thing about this episode is going to be answering questions. I know I kind of hogged a lot of the last couple extra episodes, but that's because I was away for so long and I missed you guys and I just have so much to say. Oh, one quick thing before we get into the new questions and answers. People are saying, Cal, we notice you're not wearing your glasses. Well, let me tell you what happened. Such an interesting thing. Well, I was in Singapore, and let me tell you what. Singapore has a very, very big Chinese population, and as you know, a lot of Chinese people wear glasses, and they're very, very big into glasses and LASIK surgery over there. And while I was over there, my wife says, why don't you check into LASIK surgery? And I went and got my eyes examined, and the funny thing happened was the optometrist said, you know, you don't need glasses for distance, really. And I thought, well, I've been wearing glasses for distance and for short for probably about 5-6 years. And I took off the glasses and, you know, kind of walked around for an hour or so and noticed that my distant vision was actually pretty darn good. And I can only guess that it is my new kind of cleansing and healthy lifestyle that you hear me talk about, my secret project from time to time, has really helped me to heal in a way that I couldn't have done without this nutritional cleansing. I'm not a physician, I'm not an optometrist, but gosh, I needed glasses and then I didn't need glasses. And evidently my left eye is, you know, like 20/20, and my right eye was only like 50 degrees off. I says, well, what the heck, go ahead and tune it up. And we really went and did some surgery on the right eye, and it is now healing from the LASIK. It's still out whether or not that's going to help or not, but I really don't need glasses for surgery. Surgery. That'd be fun. Give me a knife. I'll do some surgery.
No. I want a different surgeon.
But I don't need glasses for distance anymore, and sometimes I'll use glasses for near if I'm going to read something close up. So once in a while you see me sneak on these things, my granny grandpa glasses and stuff. But that's why I'm not wearing glasses anymore. All right, L. Ron, you got some questions for me?
I do. And just a little note of that, while you were getting rid of your glasses, I was getting glasses. So, interesting how
copycat
things work out. I know, just for reading, not for hanging out.
For reading, you got reading glasses.
I got reading glasses.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes, oh, these are going to help you a lot. I'm like, oh my God, is this how everybody sees the page? Probably needed glasses for a while, but just didn't know it.
So. All right, let's roll up our sleeves and get into it.
Do it. How about this, Cal? I was reading on the boards and looking for questions, and I ran across some hypnotherapists that had some concerns about, there was a client that came in that wanted to put the universe, okay, let me preface this with saying, when we do Five Path, there's a segment of it where we do forgiveness therapy, okay, and during the forgiveness therapy, there are two chairs that we want to have people communicate to, you know, the person they need to forgive back and forth in the chair with hallucination. And this client came in wanting to put the universe in the chair because she blamed the universe for her sickness. And also this hypnotherapist had questions about putting God in the chair and that sort of thing. What's your approach to that, Cal? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me just say a couple things about that approach. In Five Path, we have phase one, which is preparation, testing, convincing. Phase two, which is age regression. Phase three, which is forgiveness of others. Phase four, which is forgiveness of self. And phase five, used for eliminating secondary gain if it exists in the client. Five Pathers, we didn't invent forgiveness. We didn't invent chair therapy. The first person I know of to ever do chair therapy was Fritz Perls. In the 60s, and the first person I know to ever use it in hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe it was Gerald Kine. And what we do is we adopted that in the five-path system because what I discovered was age regression and forgiveness work done right is an insight therapy or insight process. And when you do these insight processes and the person has the epiphany, the aha experience, it causes them to go into a state of what I call hyper-suggestibility for a short period of time. And that period, I don't know how long that's going to be, but for the period of time that the subconscious mind reorganizes around that insight, then the individual is going to be hyper-suggestible for suggestions that are given with consistent with that insight. For example, if in the age regression, the person discovers, the ISC was the mother said something negative to the child, and the child thought, oh, there's something wrong with me, mother doesn't love me. And then when we do the age regression work, we inform the child that that's not true, that the mother did love her, and there's nothing wrong with her. Then that insight, once accepted, allows us to plant suggestions in there that are consistent with it. You are good. You are lovable. There's nothing wrong with you. You can be a success, and relate that to what they came in for. You can be a success in accomplishing whatever they came in for. And that segue of going from the insight into what they, giving them suggestions for what they came for, is a very, very powerful tool. This is also done in forgiveness work. When we find out that the person has the power to forgive, or any other insights that are obtained, for example, in the 10 keys to forgiveness, which we teach in class, we find out that maybe the harm wasn't done on purpose, or the harm was done with positive intent, that the perpetrator or the offender was also harmed by what was going on, or it was out of control, or whatever. When that insight is created, then the subconscious mind goes into that hyperstate of suggestibility, and we can get suggestions in that are consistent with that insight and segue that into the direct suggestion work. So what if the offender, the person we're going to forgive, is God or the universe? Can you do that? Well, of course you can. I've done it many, many times. People will become angry at anything. They can become angry at an animal. They can be angry at mother, father, sister, brother, cousin. They can be angry at their own bodies for causing them pain. They can certainly be angry with God, or a very popular term for God now is the universe, or all that is. So we can just put anything that represents to them God or all that is right there in front of them and in that chair, and have them go through the process exactly as we would with anyone else. And some important things to remember in the forgiveness process is that they need to really fully express the anger that they have. And what that does is that's going to tear down this wall that keeps them from having the insight that they need to really change. And once the that expression of anger has been fully expressed, then what we can do is we can have them hallucinate being the offender, speaking from that point of view, and a great deal more insight comes from that, and back and forth until we get to a point where the client can forgive them. So it's really important to have that 10 keys to forgiveness, but certainly God, the universe, anything, any power, the government, you know, let's put the leader of the government up there and have them strike that pillow, get angry with, fully express their feelings towards whatever it is that hurt them. Anything you want to add to that, Elron?
Yeah, do you want to say a few words on how important it is to, as well as help them with who they want to put in the chair? You have to make sure that we get paid the big bucks, because we get to pick who goes in the chair sometimes, because we've just done the age regression and uncovered the major players. And if it's not a too much behavior, where in case you want to put the person that hurt them the most, then they get to pick according to their perceptions, but you want to uncover the major player who's still causing them the most anger inside, who's responsible for the problem or associated with the cause of the problem. And so you want to make sure that that's done first before you let them pick. You want to add to that, Cal?
You know, this is one of the things that I think that the Five Pathers kind of have a more of a crystal clarity on than other schools of thought or hypnosis schools that use forgiveness therapy, is that indeed, when we go to this forgiveness, we've got to determine who goes in the chair. And we, just as Elron was saying, and I teach in class, that we have two approaches. If the person is doing a too much behavior, eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, sexing too much, working too much, whatever it is, they're doing that because they have a feeling inside them they don't like, and they're trying to distract themselves from that feeling by doing the too much behavior, drinking, smoking, eating, whatever it is. And so if they came in for one of those behaviors, we want to put the one person in their life. We want to choose. We say, I want you to put the one person in your life that's caused you more pain, more hurt, more sorrow, more frustration than anyone else in the whole world, and put them in that chair. Why do we select that person? Because that's the one inside of them that's causing the most pain. And the pain is providing the motivation to do the too much behavior. Now, the other possibilities are not in for a too much behavior. For example, maybe they're in for a fear, or they're in for really anything except for the too much behavior. And what we'll do is we'll typically take the person who is in the ISE, initial sensitizing event, as revealed when doing the age regression, put that person into the chair and have that person forgiven. Why? Remember that when we do this kind of work, one of the main reasons we're doing it is to create that insight, that epiphany. And when they have that insight, that epiphany, that aha experience about the ISE, where it really started, that's where, you know, the root of the problem, the seed of the problem is, and we can give powerful suggestions that can last forever. So that's why we would choose the person who's associated with the ISE. Now, certainly, we are not limited to forgiving just one person. I had a client, which is in my videos that I teach from, and she really had a difficult time in the forgiveness process, and we had her forgive this one person who was her father, but it was like so hard to get her to do that work, and she didn't really get the idea that, oh, when I forgive others, I benefit. So we then put her husband in the chair so that we could kind of coach her through that forgiveness also. And then when that was done, we can just tell the client, now just go ahead and forgive everyone that's ever hurt you in any significant way and let them do that on their own silently. Good. How's that, Elron?
That's good. I mean, the only thing I would add to that is that we always want to make sure that we're following the criteria and not missing the boat. Because one of my only concerns with a client who might want to put God in the chair from time to time is I would want to ascertain first that they're not avoiding putting someone else in the chair that's actually from their life because they just don't want to confront it. It's like, oh, God, because what is God? A lot of the time, from a psychological perspective, is it's the idealized super parent. Okay, and so we don't want to put God in the chair first when really Dad should be going in the chair instead, or something like that. So you want to kind of, you know, make that call based on what's been uncovered.
Could you tell us a little more about how you would make that determination about how they're avoiding or not?
If it's not a too much behavior, okay, we'd make the call because we're the person who's gonna put who goes in the chair. But basically, if it is a too much behavior, and say, okay, who hurts you the most? And they say God. But the age regression is Dad, 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 ISE, Dad, and it's just all there in front of you. You go, okay, God, take a number. How about Dad goes in the chair first? That's what I do.
Perfect. That's really good. Also, what we'll do is they'll want to jump ahead and say, I'm going to put me in the chair. And in that case, I say, excellent. Very insightful of you. Take a number. We'll get to you. Who's next? Because they're doing as you very brilliantly indicated. They're avoiding something that's pretty obvious from the age regression. Good. How are we doing on time?
We got time for one more.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. That cool. was a good question, too. How about, let's see. How about this? Client comes in, they do age regression, and the hypnotherapist keeps on taking them back to you know, the time period on or in around the ISE, and just cannot get them to feel safe. They even go before birth into a womb time experience, can't get that little one to feel safe, even to an informed soul type of experience, you know, pre-life visceral experience, and still can't get them to feel safe. What's your approach to something like that, and what are your ideas about what's going on?
Well, there's a couple approaches I would do. One is the informing soul technique, and I would have them go to that time in between life or just before, and I know this is not everybody's cup of tea, but if my client is a person who has a spiritual concept, the idea of a soul, then I would do this. I'd take them before they come into this life and have them meet with anyone on that other side that helps in that process of preparing for this life. And there could be guides or angels or wise ones over there that can give them some insight that they wouldn't normally have. That is one way to get them into coming into this life feeling safe and secure. Obviously, also, we got to find out what are they thinking, because our emotions come from our perceptions. First, we have our perceptions, then we give meaning to the perception, and that generates an emotion. So if we perceive something and then we think something, we give meaning to it as I'm not safe, we've got to find out what's going on there, and we can challenge that. If they're thinking, oh, I'm going to die, then obviously we've got a number of different avenues to convince them that they don't die. We have grown up, and then we also have the pre-life experience to let them know. And of course, this is the person that has a soul concept that believes in life after death, that we really don't die and that they're going to be fine. It's a learning experience. And my other approach is really to throw it in the lap of grown-up. One of the big differences between, I think, the five-path hypnotherapist and the psychologist or counselor is, you know, the psychologist, they need to go to school for about 7 years, maybe 8 years, maybe even longer, because the psychologist kind of has to know all the answers, has to know what's right for you. The counselor is going to counsel you on what's right for you. But the five-path hypnotherapist takes a different approach, and that is that the five-path hypnotherapist says, I believe that you know what the answer is and what's right for you, and I have a process that I can take you through, an insight process that will uncover that and allow you to know really what's right for you. Because remember, your client knows infinitely more about their situation and their past and their probable future than you do as the hypnotherapist or even the psychologist or the counselor. So I will throw it into the lap of the grown-up and really press the grown-up aspect of themselves, the adult client, to say what needs to be said, and that I can't do this for them, and that kind of approach. Anything you can add to that, Elron?
No, not really. I mean, it is all up to the grown-up. And sometimes we do have to do a little bit of coaching and get the grown-up to actually be grown-up.
Very good comment, yes.
Yeah, because once in a while, you know, we say be grown-up, but they're still kind of stuck in the state maybe in between, and you really want to make sure that you're talking to the adult analytical aspect of the client as if they were in the normal waking state where they have this kind of objective knowledge and insight, and say, hey, grown up, listen, I'm talking to you, grown up. What do you wish you would have known back then? And sometimes we even have to have a little conversation with them and tell them what we're kind of trying to do to get them to be a little bit more insightful about it, because sometimes initially a grown up will have a knee-jerk response of, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to that kid. I don't even talk to kids. I don't even like kids. And we really have to kind of spoon feed it to them sometimes based on what we know about grown up in the pre-hypnosis interview. You want to add anything to that, Cal? Like when the grown up seems to be just, they have no idea what to say?
Well, I agree with everything that you said. And one of the things we just need to do is say, in the age regression, I will have the grown up tell the client, I'm here for you. I'll never let you down. I love you. I understand. I'm proud of you. And then when I get back to grown up, I say, look, you told this younger aspect, you told 5 years old that you'd be there for him. I can't do this for you. Inside of you, the words, with all you know about life, with all you know about the situation, with everything you know, do it. Say what needs to be said. And so between really working with the adult, working with the soul aspect of the client and their access to wiser, insightful type energies such as angels and guides, if they have that kind of belief, you can get it done. And also, you hear me say it over and over, this is not brain surgery. This is not brain surgery. Brain surgeons, they have to know exactly where to cut. Each cut must be exactly right. When you're done, the suture has to hold perfectly. And hypnotherapists are not like that. If we get, 50% done or 70% done or 80% done in a session, we can wrap up the session, and give them suggestions that further insights will come that will be useful in the next session that will allow this little one inside to feel more safe, more secure than ever before. So you can give them time to kind of grow and mature with the experience they've had so far. How's that?
That's excellent.
All right, thank you. How are we doing on time?
We're done.
All right, wrap it up.
If you want to learn more about how to do this process, we've just scratched the surface of some very advanced techniques, very advanced concepts here. If you're watching this and going, huh? Then you may want to take a look at some of our training products. They're worth their weight in gold. Check out hypnosis.org. If you want to learn more, buy some products. HypnosisCenter.com has our training schedule of upcoming trainings. We probably have a week of power that is still yet to come up in April. You want to check that out. Maybe get an early bird discount on there. Follow us on Facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. Hypnosis ETC. And make some comments on the page. Maybe post some questions. Ask us some questions. Send us some emails. Let us know what you thought of this podcast. Thanks for watching. I'm L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
All right, you guys, getting ready to take off. You come back for our next episode. We're going to help you become a one percenter because I want you to be the best of the best, because then you're going to be able to help more people and you're going to have a successful hypnosis practice. That's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.